broadcasting from the jungles of Southeast Asia, it is time for the Ed Namrock Podcast.
Buenas noches, buenas noches, buenas noches, buenas noches. I don't even know if that's a song, and if that's a loop that you want to rip and turn it into a remix, by all means, give me 48% of the royalties and we will call it even. We'll go to Red Lobster or something. Anyway, back at it again with the podcast. And I'm supposed to have Justin Amon on before things get Well, hello, Gabriel. That's the first time you ever called me Namrock. You always call me Bethel. How do you like those Uncle Rico clips that I uploaded earlier? They were pretty interesting. So nonetheless, I will be joined shortly by Mr. Justin Amon. But before I bring him on, I wanted to just say this before I start the podcast. And Gabriel, yes, it was very nice. Very nice, like this. I've gotten a lot of inquiries about people wanting to start podcasts, but they're just very insecure, very not confident about getting into this type of trade, you know, art, whatever you want to call it. But oh my God. And Gabriel's calling me by my, wow. There's only like four people that still call me that. And one of them is my mother. So welcome. Welcome to the deep dark web of Ed. Anyway, if you're looking to do a podcast, it's very simple. You don't need that fancy of equipment. You do need a smartphone. You do need a set of headphones. You do, for example, in my case, I started off with strictly audio and I got into the webcam thing. And now I have an OnlyFans account, which that's what you're supposed to do, right? Wrong. But just do it. Don't even hesitate. Come up with something quirky. My best advice to you is there's this website where you can browse different topics and get ideas for the podcast, or for your podcast. And that's a website called reddit.com. Plenty of things there to talk about. And don't hesitate. Just do it. Don't be incompetent. Don't have the low, if you know what I mean. Don't feel like you can't do it. The only way you're going to learn how to do it is just by doing it. And guess what? You're going to fuck up a lot before it gets better. And then you keep going with the momentum. Before you know it, you're growing your audience base. I don't have a jamungus audience base, but you know, I go on late and I know a lot of people are not up this late, but I leave it for the next morning because I know from 8 to 10 people are watching the replay because my analytics show me that, which is perfect. And I'm doing this for a sheer entertainment and conversation. And sometimes to let people vent and talk about what's on their mind, because I know sometimes you don't get to do that during the day because you're so caught up doing shit. So, but nonetheless, I would like to bring on my guest for the night. His name is Justin Amon. What the hell took you so long, boy?
I was trying to figure out the app. I don't have my laptop, so I'm using my phone right now.
This is perfect, man. Here's the thing is, this is the question that everyone, I guess so far, like this week and a couple, like when pandemic hit, Justin, a lot of people were looking to do something a little bit more eccentric, a little bit more spontaneous, and podcasting was one of them. And I know a lot of people play video games more now than ever. They're on Twitch, they're doing all this, and they're like, okay, well, not everyone's on Twitch. Yeah, I get it. What other avenues do I have? I'm like, well, there's Facebook Live, there's YouTube Live, there's Periscope. And I think there's one more using a third-party software program called OBS. And you can basically crop vertically to stream to Instagram. But I'll tell you this, Justin, if you ever get into more live streams, like I last saw with DIY Valentine, by the way, which is one of your, like one of your 50 bands that you're in. Do not, I repeat, do not live stream to Instagram. I'm sorry. Just don't.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
I know right now, especially with DIY, like our fan base is pretty much all on either Spotify or Instagram. Those are like our two biggest platforms right now. So we did this live stream with our friends over at Echo Parlor, which they pretty much just set up like a little stage in their house in Echo Park. And it's actually a really cool place. It has a like cool view of like the, you know, you can see Echo Park out the window and stuff. And
that's pretty, you know, badass. Yeah.
We were pretty excited about it. And, you know, we went live on, I think, Twitch. Yeah, I think it was Twitch. And we had about 40 people is like throughout the whole entire thing, which was pretty good and stuff. But then we went live on our Instagram one day, and I just used one of those, like, I just used my phone for the camera, and then I just plugged in, you know, like those little clip mics that people use to talk.
Yep. Yeah. So I have one of those.
Yeah. So I hooked that up to right next to the board where the PA is when we were practicing.
Yeah.
And we went live, and we had like almost like 80, almost 100 people. And
yeah, there you go. That's the way to do it.
Yes.
Yeah, so you got to get creative with this stuff.
And then Facebook, I mean, with any of the bands I'm in, like, we have like no Facebook presence.
That is so weird, because that's generally where my audience is. And it's only because I think I started doing Facebook Watch, going live. Yeah. But then again, I go live on YouTube, and I have a very, very particular following there, consisting of like 20 people that are always tuned in. But they never engage in the comment section, which is fine. They don't need to.
Yeah.
But because, you know, the chat can be a mess sometimes. But anyway, let me give people a little bit of context as to who Justin is, how long I've known him, and what he's doing now. Justin Amon, I have known him since you were, 6, 7 years old.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, just about that. I mean, I met you through my best friend's family, and you know, I didn't know you were so musically interested at first until much later with your kid brother.
Yeah.
And then that you guys took on a whole different, you know, catapult of musicianship, and I was like, holy crap, like, oh, these guys are really serious about this. But again, giving context to the listeners or the viewers, Justin is in, like, all right, I'm gonna type him out in the comment section, because he's gonna give me one. The first band he's in is DIY Valentine. That's the first one, and I'll highlight that there right now. This is the one, DIY Valentine. The second one is which one?
Hybrid Citizen is, the first one, well, not the first band I was in, but like that's the band where I sing and play guitar. And I do
Hybrid Citizen, correct?
Yep, Hybrid Citizen.
Yeah, I think that's the one that I first started listening to, right? Because you were the frontman of that group.
Yeah, that band's been around for almost 5 years, I think now, maybe 4. But
because I remember you guys were on a roll before, you know, before pandemic hit and all this crap.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It was that one, and of course, I remember Mexico City Heartbeat. That one,
Mexico City.
Yeah, only because it had Mexico City, and it was a very catchy name. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So. Those are the three bands that Justin juggles. And for people who don't understand how it is to play in multiple bands, it's very possible. But let me ask you this. And, you know, I do have a lot of musicians actually tune in and tune in on the podcast. What do you least like about playing music? That's something that nobody talks about. What's the one thing that you're like, fuck, that you just you don't look forward to, but you love playing music, but there's always one thing that you don't look forward to?
Honestly, as much as I like to do it and stuff, I would say writing lyrics, because you have to be in a certain mood for it, you know? And like, sometimes you're just pressured to write lyrics right then and there, you know, you come up with something and then, you know, the band's like, oh, you got to write something for that. So I'm like, fuck, am I really like inspired to write about anything or whatever?
You're literally being pressed to write the best thing you have ever written in your entire life.
Yeah.
In 15 minutes. It's like, okay, hold on. Let me just do that right now. Hold on. Yeah. So yeah, writing the lyrics, it's not necessarily a chore, but that's something you're like, oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it also depends on like where my life is at too, you know, like if I'm going through like, you know, some shit, or I'm stressed out about something, then lyrics are easy. But right now, I mean, other than like, obviously,
if you're stressed out and if you're feeling some kind of way, and not necessarily positive, they just come out? Easier to write because you can go to that mental state that you're currently in and then just start jotting down whatever you're coming up with.
Yeah, because, you know, it's more
interesting, man.
Because it's more of like a stress relief than anything. So writing about like, I don't know, writing about like anything else.
You have a lot of lyrics.
Well, so... There's some cases where it's just songs come because I'm just stoned and I'm watching when I wrote this song called Flying Saucers
that's a good one. Okay.
I would say that's probably our number one song for Hybrid Citizen. Like, we got that one a couple years ago. We got
Flying Saucers.
Yeah, remember we got it played on the Frosty Heidi and Frank show.
Oh, yes, I remember you did have had it played on KLOS, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, I remember.
And that
I don't
song,
quite remember like, the date that happened, but I do remember you sent me a message. You're like, "Hey man, we made it to Heidi and Frank." I'm like, "What?"
Yeah, that was a couple years ago, I believe. We were
it was like
we had
2018,
a different name.
I think. Yeah, something like that.
I think so, because we had a different name back then. We weren't Hybrid Citizen. We were Justin Amon and the Hybrids. So the Hybrids was already taken. And then the guitarist at the time said, like, how about you just put your name in front of it? And I was like, I don't want to fucking do that. You know, but we did it.
You're like, no, and, I don't want to do that.
We did it and it stuck. And I just, like, once we got, like, our lineup change and our lead guitarist now, Andrew, who's like extremely talented, and he writes music too, and he's been putting a lot of like, you know, of his music into it too, and he also sings and stuff. So like, since he joined the band, I'm like, well, fuck, now I feel really bad having my name in front of it because I'm not even writing it. You know, so.
Well, don't feel bad, because some of the best groups have had some type of frontman name in there, or the frontman, or the main, I guess I could call it the captain of the football team in the band, came up with the name and they stuck it out together for a long time. So don't feel bad. That's what I'm trying to say. So writing lyrics, and then, man, that's crazy, because very few people tell me that lyrics is a chore. I always used to hate sound checks. For sure. The loading and unloading, that's always a pain in the ass. And then recording, because not everyone has the same, I guess, technical experience with recording. And, you know, controlling your velocities, controlling your dynamics of playing. And I know we're speaking in musician terms, but to kind of put it in layman's terms for people who don't know that, it's basically like saying, it's not what you're saying, it's how you're saying it. but you're just doing it with your instrument and you're doing it with your vocals. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you don't like how to, you don't like to load and unload, man.
Well, that's a pain in the ass, dude. I mean, that's a given. No one likes that. But we actually, for a long time, my friend Jacob, we call him Tiny. He's a, you know, he's a bigger guy and stuff, a lot stronger than I am. So like he,
you call him Tiny.
Yeah. So he was starting his own band, called No Refunds, which they have music out too, and they're really good. But he was starting. Yeah. But they're starting, you know, his band at that time and stuff. And, you know, we were playing a lot of shows and all that. And, you know, we would hang out and stuff. So you'd just come to the shows and you'd just be like, hey, I'll carry your shit and stuff. I'll just be your roadie.
Oh,
so
wow. Okay.
I was like, all right, cool. You know, so I didn't mind that.
You're like, well, if you insist.
Yeah. And then he gave me a lot of rides and stuff too, and from the shows. Like, he really came through in a lot of stuff. And, you know, like I also helped him out with like getting like his music started and his band and stuff. And I actually played drums in his band at a show because he needed a drummer.
So, and you're like, hey, our drummer didn't show up, so can you play?
Yeah,
that, so like, shit like that does happen where someone's car breaks down on the way to the venue, or someone just got kicked out. Someone broke a leg, someone got pulled over by the police and had a warrant and they're not coming back. It's damn, rock and roll, rock and roll.
I'm surprised we haven't had any like problems throughout all the years, like with police. I mean, we've had like run-ins and stuff, but it was this one time, it was that we were recording our first album, and we were recording at this, I forgot what it's called. It's a music, like a music school in Pasadena. It's right there off of Fair Oaks.
Oh, the one right there off of, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like right before Colorado. It's on the right-hand side.
I think it's this. It's like LA a Rite Aid College.
Right there. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Is it LA Music College? Yes, yes.
I think so.
So you guys were recording there.
Yeah, our drummer, he went to school there and got his degree in music and stuff there. And, some really cool musicians, like teachers and stuff there.
Oh yeah, totally.
But we're recording. They had like this cool little studio in there and stuff, and like that was like a student recording us, and you know, so it was all just a really cool experience. And we just would, you know, meet up at like 10 o'clock, be there till like 2 a.m. during recording sessions, and we did that for like a month straight every Monday. And
damn,
it was. It was pretty cool. I mean, just experimenting with shit. Like our lead guitarist at the time played saxophone too. So we had like this whole intro in the album where he did like the saxophone solo and shit. And it was just, it was just really like, you know, really creative, but it wasn't, because it was a student doing it and he mixed it and mastered it. We got it done for free. So it sounded like it was free.
Okay. You know, that's cool. All right.
But, you know, it definitely needed like a better, like, I don't even know if it was mastered, to be honest. Just, it was really low compared to like a lot of music we realized after. And we were like, I think the mastering's a little off and stuff. So we actually ended up taking the album down once we changed the name of the band and stuff.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, for people who don't know what mastering is, I'll break that down too. It's when it's basically the icing on the cake. You've already made the recipe. You bake the motherfucker and, you know, you assemble it. Now you got to decorate the shit. So mastering is just that for music in general. And because there's different types of genres, different types of music and different levels of volume, there is specific types of genres that do need to be pumped out louder. Only to match what's being broadcasted on either terrestrial radio and now, of course, online streaming. And that's just what it is. And when something isn't, and I totally get it, when, you know, you could only use the volume on the car stereo so much, to the point where like, okay, it's still not loud enough. And most people think, well, how much louder do you want it? There's a specific standard of loudness that music needs to be at now by law set by the International Union, that it just has to do it. And only mastering engineers know how to do it. I mean, I know how to do it, but an actual mastering engineer, a professional that I've actually sat with and had, and, you know, you sit, you know, with hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment, you know, yeah, that's that. Now, you know, why things sound the way they do when you either stream it or if people start buying CDs or vinyl, now, you know. But just to break that down. And well, the other thing I've been meaning to ask you too is DIY Valentine is on Spotify, correct?
Yeah, we're on Spotify.
Okay,
I think we're on pretty much everything.
You guys are on all major platforms?
Yeah, I don't think we're on Pandora, and I don't know why I like
all that's, my bands. For some reason, that's the most Pandora. Popular one, and I don't know why.
Yeah, like
I hate it seems that. App. Like,
that's why we're not on Pandora. Like you can even like Shazam us and all that, but no matter any band I'm in, it's like we can't get on Pandora for some reason. It's like the hardest one.
Wow. Okay. DIY Valentine. I'm just gonna show everyone the screen so they'll know where to look. And it's the one with the little heart logo, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that way I will show people because I like to plug in musicians because and you guys are verified. Wow, look at you guys. Okay. Very nice. And yeah, I'll show everyone. Obviously, I wish I could play this, but everyone knows, even if you are given permission by an artist to play their music on your podcast, it gets flagged. Did you know that?
Oh, is it only on Facebook though?
No, it's YouTube lets you and that's something that we were talking about on the last podcast with my buddy Witt from Steel Rod. YouTube already has a standard kind of agreement and licensing with all the major labels and of course the rights holders. Yeah. Now Facebook, on the other hand, they're a little bit more, as much as a liberal company as they are, they're very conservative with their intellectual property rights, meaning you can't put anything up without having to be partially muted or completely deleted. So, yeah, it's pretty fucked up, but that's how it is. But anyway, people, this is for people watching. It's DIY Valentine, spelled DIY Valentine, verified artist on Spotify and on all major platforms. And for those listening, if you have Spotify, just search DIY Valentine. Their most popular song right now is Cemetery Drive. Second is Lost Lovers. Third is Betrayal, Numb, and Rotten Hearts. And they have, you guys have 5 releases? Is that correct? And music video, right? Or no?
Well, Hybrid Citizen has a music video. DIY, we're supposed to be making one pretty soon. DIY is actually a pretty like new band. I actually joined them because they were looking for a bass player. And you being the
overall musician that you are, and selfless man.
Well, the first time I saw these guys were at the Old Town Pub, and I used to book shows there like once a month. So I would, book some of the bands, and before they would give you like a percentage of the bar and stuff and all that too, but they took that away. And now we just get like 100% of the door, which is still pretty cool. But, you know, the bar makes a lot of money. So,
Especially Old Town Pub, I'm pretty sure, I don't know about so much right now because.
Oh, they're closed.
This whole pandemic really fucked everything up. And, you know, even some of the most renowned, you know, cover bands and tribute bands that I know about have been put on hold for a while. And they're used to like gigging maybe 4, 5, 6 to 10 times a month. And my, you know, my immediate circle, my buddy Stillrod, my buddies at Stillrod were playing anywhere from like 5 to 6 days a night, a week. And that just completely came to a halt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, gosh, man, that's so crazy. Hey, Jen. Hey, Edgar. Hey, Justin. I love the song Numb. Hey. There you go. What is the song Numb about, Justin?
You'd have to ask our singer, Jesus, on that one. But he's a lot of his songs are just written about, like, you know, relationship stuff, sad stuff.
it's always an outlet for that type of stuff. That's what I love about music. So
he and that's how you
relate
of,
to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm saying that because, you know, I'll listen to, like, you know, one or two songs from Tekashi, Lil Pump.
Yeah.
What's his name? Lil Yachty, Bad Baby. And I'm just like scratching my head and going, the beats are cool, but, you know, then I started, like, if I were to read the lyrics, I'm like, I don't know what's going on here, man. And then you get stoned, and then you get inebriated and try to make some sense of it. It still doesn't make sense to you. It's like, fuck, you know.
But yeah, it's definitely all about the producer with that type of music.
Yeah, I mean, me working in two audio schools and music production schools, I mean, that's really where it starts. And all these faces, and I call them faces, that, you know, are, you know, they're either lyricists or rappers, but a face is more like they want to be the poster child of, they want to be the face of the music. And whether it's an image, whether it's, you know, colored hair, whatever, Tekashi 69, thumbs down. But nonetheless, it's always starts with the music, man. I mean, you take the music out and you just leave it a cappella, then you get something totally different. That's what people don't understand. But again, we're living in a consumer world, and, you know, it is what it is, man. I mean, you can't really, it's like saying you're going to change people's eating habits, for example. That's never going to change.
Yeah.
You know, all you have to do is keep feeding them, but you keep feeding them stuff that may be disguised, that's healthy, and may be disguised as something that they're used to eating that's not healthy. Like the Impossible Whopper. Yeah, right. Yeah, great burger, but no, don't do it.
Whatever's in it's probably worse than the beef.
Yeah, don't do it. It's like you're better off eating the actual, you're better off just eating the bread. You know, and the vegetables that come in there. But anyway, so check this out. You know the website reddit.com, right?
Yeah, I honestly have no idea how to use it.
Okay, no, it's basically thread based and questions and a lot of porn or whatever, like every other website, of course. There's a segment that I like to usually browse late at night, just to see what type of people need help, man, because at least once a day I'm like, okay, if I can at least help one person that I don't even know, whether it's on the internet or in person, if I can at least help one person, I have fulfilled my duty for the day, because I'm caught up helping my immediate circle, my tribe here at home, that, you know, you always have to remember at the end of the day, you at least help someone else that's less fortunate than you. And there's this subreddit called Advice. So hold on, Jen has a comment here. Your style of music reminds me of the Smiths and the Cure. That's a big compliment. Big compliment. Even though I am not, and I repeat, I am not a fan of Morrissey. As an LA native, I do not like, no, him as a person. I don't like Morrissey. I don't like him.
Yeah, definitely like him as a person, but
I feel like feeding him a burger so he could shut up.
The band itself.
Because he's a pretentious asshole, but yeah, that's my opinion, whatever. Anyway, there's a couple of questions, and I know they tuned in on YouTube to have me read the questions, and have me answer them, of course, with your help, because I know you're gonna have something to say about this. And they're very interesting questions, man. Sometimes they get really not deep, but like it gets really, I don't even know how to explain it. It gets, I'm not gonna say morbid because it doesn't get morbid, but it's thought-provoking is what I'm trying to say. So are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
I'm never ready because I'm like, shit, man, I don't know what to answer sometimes. But so here's the first question. All right. So I'm going to read it. Hopefully this person is tuned in. And let me just enlarge. Ooh, I said enlarge. Let me make this question a little bit bigger and I'll read it out loud. So I'm not obviously showing the user's name, but the question reads, can anyone tell me why I'm so easily influenced by what other people say about me? And it goes on to say, I remember being a teen in art school, and when a teacher started to make fun of my art, I stopped drawing and dropped out of art school. I haven't drawn anything since. Same with singing. Peers used to make fun of my voice, so I stopped singing. I used to perform at theaters as a kid. Same with university. Dropped out of university because a bunch of kids told me that I wasn't good enough for the course. Can anyone tell me why I keep doing this self-destructive behavior? Oof. Okay, so. Well, you want to take like a crack at it first, Justin? What do you think about this one?
A short answer would be, it sounds like you got shitty friends. But,
I wouldn't even call them friends.
Yeah, whoever's, I don't know who's telling you all this, but yeah, but is this a younger person that's posting us, or somebody like a little older?
I think they're in their early 20s. Yeah. So sometimes I can't even tell because they don't describe exactly what their tenure is. They don't say anything. So Jen had a comment here. Hold on. They have no self-worth. And that's what I was just about to get into, where, okay, if you're easily influenced by what other people say about you, you need introspect. And what is introspect? You need a little bit of an epiphany. You need self-reflection. Justin, you know me for a long time. Mm. I've had haters line up out the door and people try to cut in line just to hate. And then I'm like, no, wait your ass in line. Everyone gets an equal opportunity hate. So my advice is fuck what everyone thinks about you, man. Seriously. To seek validation from people that also don't have any self-worth because they're telling you shit like this. Not worth it. And for this person, I hope this person's watching. Don't stop where you start. That's a really bad habit that you should not pick up. And, you know, you always finish what you start, whether it's art school in this particular case, whether it's singing. I don't know why you don't continue to sing. Shit, you can sing for cats and dogs. Who gives a shit? You know, I sing for, you know, for a fucking wall if need be. Sing in your car. There's no stopping you. Only if you allow yourself to be halted by these people and yourself, because you're the one doing all the movement. You're the one gaining all the momentum. And it's so weird. And even with school, it's like, if you're not good enough for a class, then you know, I think that's something internal, that there's something that's not being met. But yeah, this is, you can't keep doing this to yourself is my answer. You must stop now. You can't wait. You got to keep going. And we're musicians too, Justin. It's like, do you absolutely care about satisfying 100% of your audience?
I mean, you just Yeah, look at it that way. If it's something you know that you enjoy and you like to do, whether or not you sound like shit or not, like, you know, I used to play like coffee shops as playing acoustic guitar and singing and, you know, doing open mics and stuff like that. And I sounded like shit. Like I couldn't sing at all yet. I was coming from singing in like a punk band where I was screaming to playing like some like Elliott Smith sounding shit. And, you know, it's, and I was like doing that, but with my screaming voice and stuff. So, like, you know, it was definitely something to get used to. And I embarrassed myself a lot before I got good at it. And I still don't even, you know, I still like sometimes when I listen back to myself, I'm like, oh, that didn't sound good and stuff.
It's
But
almost as like you have to embarrass yourself at least once or twice
yeah.
in order for you to kind of start gaining that momentum.
You gotta
But,
embarrass yourself and yeah.
well, you have to fall on your ass and get up. That's the thing. It seems like this person keeps falling and does not want to get up. And what that causes is a very unhealthy perspective on life. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're going to keep thinking that everything that you take up from a new job to a new relationship, hell, even, you know, maybe a pre-existing condition, man, that you're like, oh, this is the end. And that's the thing. You have th this person needs to define, is this the beginning of my fight or is this the end? I give up. And hold on, Jen has a comment here. Back in our day, bullies and assholes were the normal thing to experience in life. People nowadays can't handle it. And here's the thing. It's almost like it's necessary. I mean, I got bullied, you know, before I hit eighth grade. And, you know, even in eighth grade, I had some trouble too. But you learn to realize that the reason why these people bully other people is because they're miserable and they fucking hate themselves, man. You know, and I learned that later. I'm just like, oh, no wonder you were like that, because I became friends with some of my bullies. And I'm like, God, and then I understood what they were going through, but I'm like, was that a means to get physically violent? No, but that was what they were taught. And that's what's fucked up. I don't know if you ever got bullied as a kid, Justin,
Very
or got picked
briefly.
on.
It
Oh, you
was like
got picked
very
on.
brief in middle school. It was I didn't even know. It was such a weird experience because it was this kid who was smaller than me and he came up to my desk and it was like straight out of like some like 80s movie. He just like slammed his homework on my desk, like, do my homework. And I was just looked at him like, I don't even do my own homework, dude. And I'm like, I'm not gonna do yours and stuff. And this guy was just so like, I don't know. It was like he could tell he was putting on an act so much, it was just kind of like laughable. So like he just like during PE would come up and like try to push me and shit, and I'd push him back, and then that would pretty much be it. He would just walk away after, and like, you know, he was gonna do something more. Never did, but
Wow.
that was the closest thing I ever got to a bully. I mean, I guess I've been lucky enough that people kind of liked me and stuff in school, and you know, especially in high school. In high school, I kind of was one of those people that just kind of slipped in and out of crowds and stuff, and like I didn't like to be around the same group of people for a long time.
Yeah,
I
I was
just
the
kind of.
same way. I can relate to that. You basically become the like this chameleon with different people, and not necessarily out of spite. You're just, it's kind of like a social buffet, I call it. You want to get, you know, different flavors and different foods, different tastes from each group. That way you can later determine like, okay, I kind of like hanging out with more people like this. And it seems to me like, for example, that you mentioned that you're in and out of groups. I think that I don't know if this person that asked this question ever did that, because it seems like they were very static with one particular group. I mean, I could be wrong, but it sounds like this is a repeating pattern. Look at it's the same people, the same type of attitude and personality and ego that these people have that this person keeps getting drawn to. And it could be a problem. Like, why are you drawn to this type of pessimism and negativity and toxicity? Mm-hmm. This person asks, can anyone tell me why I keep doing this self-destructive behavior? And it's because you think you know better, but you don't, and you need to cut it the fuck out. Cut it out of your life. You don't need it. You don't deserve it. What this person needs to do is get a piece of paper. Yes, an actual piece of paper, not a notepad, not a digital notepad on your iPhone or your Android smartphone, but an actual pen and paper, and write the top five things that you are most grateful for right now. And I'm not talking about no pessimistic bullshit. Like, what are you grateful for right now? Whether it's, you know, the pack of bologna you have in your fridge and nothing else, to running water, to, you know, your electric bill not being as high as most people, if you know what I'm saying, to shit, a fucking tap car for Metro, whatever, man. Five things. And it's funny because a lot of people start to do that when they start to hit rock bottom, or they're facing a terminally ill obstacle, and they know that, you know, being showing gratuity and being grateful daily is a big relief. So let's see, Jen has a comment here. It must have been told when they were little that they weren't good enough, and now as an adult, it's a trigger for them. Absolutely. Because I don't know if about you, Justin, but my model of the world was shaped very early by my mother. And I'm sure yours is the same. And what I mean by model is how you view the world. Yeah. Most people, they're like, okay, I'm going to destroy. And other people are quite the contrary. They're like, I'm going to build. And then there's, I'm going to entertain. And then there's, I am going to do absolutely the bare minimum or nothing. I'm just going to smoke weed, hang out, try to screw hot chicks, and oh shit, I got her pregnant. Fuck. But All right, are you ready for the next one?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do this next one. Let's see if I could just drag it in here. It'd be a lot easier. Oh shit, this one's pretty deep, man. Damn. Okay, this one, I'm probably gonna, I'll let you go first, because this, I don't know if you've ever dealt with this before, but this is pretty bad. So let's see if I can enlarge it. Ooh, I said enlarge. Okay, you ready for this one? So my mom is racist and won't stop pushing it onto my family. I repeat, my mom is racist and won't stop pushing it onto my family. Oh, fuck. All right, here you go. It reads, I'm 17. My mom is racist. 6 out of 7 days of the week, she will talk about something racist, usually black people. And she will just talk about how they are all rubbish for a reason, and she preaches it to my 10-year-old brother. Oof, not good. And also tries to talk to me and my sister about it. She talks his way about blacks, Micronesians, Filipinos, and I'm literally part Filipino from my dad, Indians, pretty much any colored people. Well, you should rephrase that, any people of color. So she is Japanese and Korean, half and half. She argues that Japanese, Koreans, and whites are the elite supreme races, and that all other Asians like Vietnamese, Taiwanese, and all of the other ones besides Japanese and Korean are rubbish or trash. Okay, he's using the word rubbish, so this must be going on in
England
or some shit, because we don't use rubbish. Mm. She talks about how if she was the government, she would just shoot all of the BLM people. God damn, bitch. Tell me how you really feel. Fuck. Yeah. Like I said, she brings these kinds of things up six out of 7 days of the week. So this lady wakes up hateful, man. Fuck.
Yeah.
If I try to tell her not to do that, it turned into her yelling at me or just being really mean to me. When I bring it up to her at the right times when she's not in a defensive or aggressive mood, which is probably the seventh day, she's still so closed-minded. Nothing I say changes her. She insists that what she says isn't wrong, but it's just true, quote-unquote, just true. And I just had an argument on Facebook with someone that says, I just call it like it is, like stupid ass. She still preaches these horrible things to my brother. Luckily, my brother is smart, and he knows better than to take her side with the crazy things that she says. Maybe I'm writing this in the wrong sub because I don't know what advice I'm really asking for. LOL. But yeah, that's it. Oh, man, this one's tough.
I mean,
it's tough, but it's not, because this mom is a piece of shit.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, like you have that one just really racist person in your family, and
or two or three.
Yeah, you know, depending. But sometimes, you know, all you can do is try to educate them on it. But if they're not going to be open minded to it, or, you know, be willing, then you just kind of have to, you know, I guess after that, just avoid the conversation and then just move on to try to see if you can educate others or and stuff, because that's going to be a waste of your energy at that point.
Obviously the mom's a lost cause, but you know, see, Jen said, I have a next door neighbor who yells racist things to her husband and son, and we all hear her. She yells all week long. What kind of, I could only imagine. Jeez, man. This is tough because he's 17. He still lives at home. And obviously he knows it's wrong. And if his mom is making fun of not only black people, but other types of Asians and Indians, even though India is part of Asia, and she's Japanese and Korean. So this is like a weird form of supremacy that this lady believes in. So weird. And if she was the government, she would just shoot all of the Black Lives Matter people, is what she said.
I mean, that's...
And a 10-year-old is absorbing this information, but I'm sure as a good brother, he probably has to tell his little kid brother, like, hey, mom isn't always right. What she's saying is completely wrong. It's very, very racist. And then you probably have to explain what racism is and put it in a context for your 10-year-old brother. Because can you imagine you being even 18 years old dealing with this shit and having to tell your 11-year-old brother, like, what the fuck mom is talking about, dude? If I were you, I'm just telling this kiddo here, man, that you have to learn to blow it off and just let it roll off your back at this point, because until you move out of that house, do your absolute best to just humor your mom somehow. I mean, obviously, if this is my mom, I would have left the house a long time ago, because I have zero tolerance for racism, period. And, you know, I've always shared that story that I didn't really know what racism was till like 1991. And then it just hit like a ton of bricks, Justin. It was 91. I experienced something, my first racist encounter. And then the 1992 riots the following year happened. And then that's when I really knew, like, oh shit, this can go a lot of bad ways. And fast forward, like, you know, I grew up in LA, obviously, and obviously it was a mixed bunch. And it wasn't, Justin, it wasn't until I moved to East LA Montebello that I found that my own peeps, you know, Mexicans and Latinos, they hated black people the way white supremacists did. And I was just like, wait a minute, what city am I in again? I'm like, back where I used to live, it wasn't like that. Like I had all kinds of friends, dude. Like it was awesome. You know, that's why, you know, it was awesome growing up in LA. So, but until I kid you not, man, it was a very big culture clash. So I didn't know what to think. And even an even bigger culture clash was, you know, moving to SGV. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And yeah, man, I the only thing I could tell this kid here is, if it's 6 out of the 7 days of the week that she's doing that, then you have to train yourself for those 6 days to deliberately try to entertain yourself away from this bigotry that your mom is, you know, pushing onto the family. And it sucks that, you know, she thinks like that. She must have had a really bad upbringing, man. Seriously, because, you know, you're not born racist. You're not born to hate. You're taught that. You're taught to hate. And everyone forgets that you're not born to hate, man. You are deliberately taught that.
Got some racist grandparents.
Yeah, dude. And believe it or not, there's things that you're taught very early on in life that become impulsive later on in your, you know, even your teenage years, because you didn't know that that was taught to you early. So it's programming your brain. It's very, very, very weird. And like, I'll give you an example. Back in, I want to say, because I was staying in South Central for a long time, because that's where my mom's boyfriend lived, and we were back and forth, whatever. Long story of my life. And I was walking to go play Street Fighter 2. I never forgot this, at a local liquor store. And I go with my quarters, happy as a fucking, you know, pig in mud, whatever. And as I'm walking in the sidewalk, I see people, like, you know, they'll see a bunch of black dudes hanging out on the wall. And people will just, you know, go across the street and go around. And I'm just like, why is everyone crossing the street? Like, whatever. And I would just go and say hi to everyone, you know, get everyone's name. It was fucking awesome, because I would play against these guys. Yeah. And I didn't get it. I didn't get it at first, man. And then later, you know, like a year or two later, then that's when I figured out. I'm like, oh, like they think you're bad people or something. And call me naive at the time, man, even naive now, but I just don't get it, you know. And even, it sucks, because my first racist encounter was with, you know, a bunch of white dudes that came to the summer camp where I was at playing basketball. It was all white kids on the squad. And that's the first time I ever heard someone call me a spick, Justin. Yeah, like the guy hit a 3-pointer on me right in front of my face, and I went up to block, but, you know, no dice. He hit it. He's like, that's right, you fucking spick, in your face, bitch. And I was like, and then I saw, you know, my teammates, you know, most of them are black, and a couple Asian guys. Mm-hmm. And they're like, dude, I would have kicked that shit if I was you, man. What the fuck? And I'm like, well, why? What did he call me? What the fuck did he call me? I was confused. And then during a timeout, that's when that's when our coach is like, hey, I need to send an address that they're throwing racial slurs at you guys to get you out your game. So, you know, don't play that shit. But on the side note, they're like, hey, we're going to start throwing elbows at these guys because they were dropping N-bombs. They were calling my Asian friends chinks. And of course, they called me wetback. They called me spig. And they're like, oh, you're going to fucking mow my lawn after this shit, all this stuff. And I was like, okay, fwack. So that did it right there. And then, you know, you get upset after that. And now I could imagine living with that with this kid, dude, 6 out of 7 days of the week. This is fucking. So, yeah, the only advice is, yeah, man, just try your hardest to not fancy your mom for 6 out of the 7 days. And if anything, try to be as reserved as possible. Don't be too transparent and don't try to force. Don't start pushing your perspective onto your mom, because that's not going to be good, man. So, God, that one was tough, man. Jeez, man. Are you ready for the last one?
I'm ready.
I'm sure you can relate to this one because it's happened to a lot of us. So, this is weird. This is weird, and maybe you can help me out with this one because I'm not too versed in this type of situation. So, all right, here's the last one. All right, it reads, is it weird the girl I'm dating has the same name as my ex? So is it weird the girl I'm dating has the same name as my ex? It reads, now this may sound very dumb, but I'm very concerned. The girl I'm falling for and plan on dating soon has the same name as my ex, like my first real girlfriend. Let's name them Katie. Now, the first Katie I dated, well, almost 2.5 years ago, but I don't think my family likes her. I still love at home, yes. Okay, I'm a male, 17, okay. They loved her while we dated, but not now, for obvious reasons. But I'm scared to tell them that the second Katie, about the second Katie and how they will react. So is it weird the girl I'm dating has the same name as my ex? My answer is yes, it is. What do you think, Justin?
I mean, it's only weird if you make it weird, I guess. It's it's just how.
But what do you mean by make it weird, though?
Yeah, like, you know, like he has the power to like either make that weird or not make that weird. Because if he wants to think about it that way, you know, that this is the same name as my ex, so she's going to be like this, and my family's going to think that's the same, you know, Katie, like all Katie.
The same person.
Yeah, like, that's like saying, you know, for example, you know, the whole Karen thing that's going on, and everyone's Karen. You know, like, you know, there's some nice Karens out there. Yeah, there's some nice Karens out there.
And then you get the I hate you. Yeah, I'm not a Karen, then, even though my name is Karen.
Yeah. You know, so it's, I mean, it depends, you know. If it's that weird to you, then I guess move on. But if
let me ask you this question. If you had a really bad falling out with a bandmate that, you know, let's name John, whatever. And you replace them with the same role, and it happens, it had same first and last name as the guy you kicked out, had a bad falling out with. Would that be weird? Think about that one.
You know, I think it'd be funny because, all right, so here's a story about, so before, when we were Justin Amon and the Hybrids, we had this guitarist, and, you know, it, like, not, we didn't have like a falling out and stuff, but it just wasn't working out. And he, you know, was working as a teacher and stuff. So obviously, like, I wanted him to move on with that because that's what he went to school for and all that. And we're over here playing shows all, you know, every night. And he has to wake up early in the morning, go to go to work and stuff in school, and he was moving more in that direction. So after a while, he stopped going to practices. So I just told him one day that, this is your career. I want you to be successful in that, but this is mine, So I but afterward, I guess he wasn't like, I don't know, he had a bit of a grudge against it. But
Oof, okay.
when we had our new guitarist, Andrew, different names, by the way, but like at first, me and the rest of the guys in the band were kind of laughing because they look very similar in certain ways, like their body type, and plus like some of his mannerisms, and like just the way
That
he
okay,
says
that's
things.
weird.
Yeah, it's just like there's a lot of similarities there. Like, we would,
That's weird.
me and the rest of the guys were like, are you guys getting this too? Or like, we're like, yeah, but we just thought it was funny. It wasn't like a weird
Oh
thing for us,
shit, man.
but I guess, especially for a lead guitarist, I feel like it's good that have those like really particular, precise, perfectionist people, because that's what you want as a lead guitarist,
They're
like.
very they're a very peculiar kind, especially when it comes to recording.
Yeah, that's why
They're very, very technical.
Andrew's a genius in that. Like, we were in the studio recording one of our songs, and there's a he was hearing this buzz. Like, I don't know where it's coming from. It must have been like a whatever grounding issue or something. But in the recording, we're sitting there listening, like, man, this fucking sounds badass. And Andrew's like, nah, there's a buzz. I hear something. And the sound engineer is looking at him like, dude, there's nothing. They strip it all down and stuff. And you say, like, he's like showing him, like, look at this, nothing. And Andrew's like, no, I hear something. And he like wouldn't let go of it. Like, he was like, they're almost arguing with the sound engineer. And we're like sitting there like, oh
Wow.
shit. And we're like, Andrew, it's fine. Just leave it. Who cares and shit. And then finally, like, they stripped it down so much that they actually found that it was a grounding issue in the bass. And so the sound engineer,
Wow.
so we all looked at Andrew like, holy fuck, like his ear is so good that it was like, he just caught shit that we would never like hear. And then, just some of the ideas he gets as far as like what he hears, as far as like, effects that we put into the song, or the way he
Yeah.
writes guitar solos to like be perfect for the theme of the song and everything. Like, he truly like, puts all of, everything into it. So, in order to be that, I feel like there has to be there has to be some like very particular, like personality traits to come with that.
That, and I'm convinced that people are born that way. They really are. And I mean, I have a particular gift, but when I meet someone like my in my later years, when I started linking up with different people that were playing music, I was like, holy shit, like just when I thought I had something in common with someone, these people just go beyond that. And you learn from them too. It's just like, and then that's kind of like your flavor, like, oh, this is what I've been craving. Now I can really be creative and not worry so much about the technical stuff. But then the roles change. And then that person that you meet doesn't know shit about recording. And you end up doing it anyway. But it just becomes much more fun because now you have some talent to record. And the music just flows, which is fucking interesting, man. And that's what music is and is going to continue to be. And it's always left to self-interpretation. Everyone likes what they like. I mean, I try to listen to everything as much as I can, but I have my throwbacks, and I even still listen to some of my old music too, because I'm just like, it triggers a lot of good memories. And I try to stay away from a lot of the music that triggers the bad ones, even though I listen to them anyway. They'll sneak into my shuffle playlist. So, but
I still have a file of the Mad Rock CD somewhere.
oh, you do?
Yeah, like I gotta see if I can find it because I know my dad has a CD of it. He still has like the physical
Yeah.
CD.
Well, what's interesting is when I first took the drum kit to your dad's house, we mic'd it up one time and your dad played along to it, and that's the recording he ended up playing on. And this is when your dad was, still, able to play really, really well. And the reason I couldn't play on it is because he kept telling me, he's like, "You hit way too damn hard, man. And these levels are just peaking." And literally, we had everything dialed down to zero and it was still going. Yeah. So, but back then, I had a recorder that didn't have a pad on it to reduce the decibels going to the board. So I was just like, okay. And your dad knew how to control all of his velocity at the time. So I'm like, okay, you do it then. And now what that's what ended up on that little CD. But what's tricky was I recorded it on cassette tape and I had to transfer all of that in real time onto a DV a CD recorder, which was a pain in the ass. So I basically went to Circuit City at the time, back in the day, and bought a $444 CD recorder, transferred all that, and then returned the CD recorder and got my money back. That's
Genius.
basically what I did, man. So,
Like how I would.
yeah. All right. So, we're gonna end the show or the podcast with the infamous lightning round with Justin Amon. Are you ready
Okay.
for this?
I'm ready.
So,
What is the
the
lightning
lightning
round?
round, the lightning questions, is basically, it's an icebreaker game, whatever. I've been doing it for a long time. You basically just shoot from the hip. There's going to be about three or four rounds to see how long this goes, but just shoot from the hip and give me the first answer that comes to your mind. All right, you ready? All
I'm ready.
right, here is the lightning round with Justin Amon. So round one, here we go. Texting or talking?
Talking.
Favorite day of the week?
Sunday? It's my day off this week, that's why.
It took you a while to think about that. You're like, let me check the schedule real quick.
Yeah, what's my I'm working 6 days this week, so Sunday is my favorite day.
All right, here we go. Favorite city in the United States besides the one you live in?
That's a hard one. Favorite city in the United States, like any
In the
state?
whole country. Could be our state too.
I would say Maui.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I
I've
went
never
there
even been to
once.
Hawaii, so
I was like 10 years old when I went, but I've been wanting to go back. It's just such a
I've just
beautiful
been
place.
wanting to go, period. I've never been there. And
And
all I see is pictures on Instagram, and I want to dive into my phone and go. All right, you ready?
yeah.
Nickname your parents used to call you.
Asshole.
Hey, asshole, come here.
Yeah,
Hey, asshole, did you do your homework?
exactly.
Oh, shit. All right. The last song you downloaded, not streamed, but downloaded, like you actually physically either ripped it or you downloaded it.
Probably Lost Lovers from DIY Valentine when they sent us the master.
All right. Would you rather be able to speak every language in the world or be able to talk to animals?
Animals.
Really?
That'd be cool. I mean, it would probably be a better like life skill to know how to speak every language.
On the resume,
I could talk
talks to
to
animals.
animals.
Yeah, I'm gonna bring in my dog here. Can you tell me what he's thinking? Yeah, sure. He says you're an asshole.
I can figure out what happened to Carol Baskin's husband.
Oh. Fucking tigers come up like, shit, that bitch did it. That bitch did it.
Bitch
All right.
is crazy.
Favorite holiday?
Halloween.
How long does it take you to get ready?
15 minutes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how good of a driver are you?
Probably like a two because I don't have a car, so I really have practice.
Not missing out on shit, dude. Don't worry about it.
That's why
You
I've been thinking about getting a car for me and my girlfriend. We want to get a car,
do not
and
do it. Do not take an Uber.
rent. Well, that's why I've been doing that. And plus, I recently moved stores. I don't work in East LA no more, so I work in
Oh.
South Pasadena now, which
Okay, well
is
it's not too bad of a commute.
it's actually close now. It's really close to me now because I live with my girlfriend now in South Pasadena. I don't live
Oh,
at Poppy's
that's a
anymore.
hop, skip, and a jump. So yeah, that's easy.
Yeah, so
Okay.
it's been, and I've been riding my bike, which I have a like an electric bike. It has a little lithium battery on the back and stuff. Yeah,
Lazy ass, you're like, I ain't pedaling. Fuck that.
dude, it comes through. Like when I first moved to South Pasadena, I was riding the East LA on it, and
Oh, okay.
So you go down Fremont and then it goes to like Monterey Pass, and then so I was like riding through Monterey Pass, and then you finally get to Whittier Boulevard, turn left, and then
That's so cool.
so
All
it's like a
that
45,
downhill.
yeah, and it's like a 45-minute ride, but like there's some days on Monterey Pass where it's like this car is going by you like 100 miles an hour. There's such a
You're
thick
like,
street
fuck
there.
this. You're
Yeah,
like,
and
I'm
I'm
gonna
like, that
die.
my bike can only go up to like 20 miles an hour, and like there's
Oh,
literally been times where I'm riding in the bike lane and there's a car behind me and just like riding my ass and honking the horn, and like he finally goes around me and looks at me, and like there was this one time where we actually got to like exchange words, and he looked at me like this and stuff, and I go, "What do you want me to do? Look at what I'm on." Like this guy's driving like an SUV and he's expecting me to like speed up on my on my
It's
little.
like, just go around, you asshole.
Yeah. So
Jesus. Are
yeah,
you
so
ready?
it's
Fill in the blank.
all right.
Cardi B is.
WAP. At
At what age do you want to retire?
ideally, it would be really cool to retire at like 40. That way, I can like have a good chunk of my life.
That would be for me in February, so fuck that. That shit
If
ain't coming anytime soon, god damn it. I'm turning 40 in February, by the way.
wow,
Yeah.
that's crazy. I feel like
Very crazy.
I didn't think that. For a long time, I only thought you were like maybe like 5, 10 years older than me, and
I get that a lot. I've been pickled from all the alcohol I've drank, so. And of course, all the weed I've smoked. Okay, so would you rather have invisibility or super strength? Oh, yes.
I would say
Invisibility or super strength?
super strength. I
Really?
think it I don't know. What would you do with invisibility? Just hide from people?
A lot of things, yeah.
I don't need to hide. Rather be.
You're like, I'm just real strong, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Give me all your weed.
You won't need to hide if you're stronger than everyone.
Exactly. So, is it wrong for a vegetarian to eat animal crackers?
I don't know, I guess that would be like, can you imagine eating like a cracker shaped as a baby? Like
Oh,
someone
my
who's
God.
getting off of cannibalism. I think it would be like the same concept for vegetarians.
Yeah. All right, on a scale of 1 to 10, how good are you at keeping secrets?
I would say 10. I usually don't talk to anyone about stuff,
You're
so.
like, I won't tell anyone.
That's why,
Ariel
like,
or Jasmine?
Jasmine,
First celebrity crush.
Britney Spears.
Wow.
I used to have a my My dad, well, I thought I was like, he told my mom something like, because we had like a bunk bed that I slept in, and I had this little like tiny, like it was literally like a thumb size like picture of Britney Spears, like that I just put on top of like the top area of the bunk. And stuff, so you just wake up in the morning and see Brit little picture of Britney Spears.
You're like, good morning, Brittany. How
And
are you?
I must have been like 6 years old at this point too. And like my dad came over to pick me up, and I just was like, "Dad, come look at this." I was like all excited to show him, and my dad's looking at me like, "Oh yeah, that's cool." And
Right, last couple ones, and then you have successfully completed the lightning round. Are reindeers real creatures?
yeah.
Do you respect Kanye West?
That's a hard one. His first, he had some good albums. He
Oh,
put
he has
out
some
some good
great
stuff.
albums.
That's why, like, I respect him, like, as a musician, as a producer and stuff. I think, I don't know. I guess he's just one of those guys that are just so, like, creative and talented in one way that he's just very socially awkward because of it. You know what I mean?
It, very Bjork like, if you ask me. It's like, I think every successful artist is very weird and unusual in their own fucking way. But are you ready for this last one? And you gotta dig in for this one, man. You gotta. Ready?
Ready?
Using an Elmo voice,
Oh,
tell me
jeez.
how you like your coffee.
Black.
Oh man, that was good, dude. That was good.
Was that even Elmo, or was that Mickey Mouse?
That was awesome, man. Well, look, 1 hour and 20 minutes, man. Not bad for your first podcast, bro.
Nice.
Not bad.
Well, this was
Usually,
definitely fun.
I go a little past an hour, but this went by pretty quick. But before we end, anything you'd like to plug? Your album, your band,
Well,
fucking underground fucking stripper party at, the jungles of Southeast Asia, whatever.
that's what your podcast
Anything.
is filmed at,
Yeah, it's an inside joke that I've had for a long time with my coworkers,
huh?
so.
Okay. Let's see, what kind of plug? Well,
So DI, the first band is DIY Valentine.
yep, so you can follow DIY Valentine on Spotify, Google Play, Amazon, iTunes, any streaming service like that that pays us $0.005 per play. So we
It's
need
like
more listeners.
one thousandth of a fucking quarter of a
Yeah.
cent.
So your listen counts as leaving on repeat all night. And
Yes.
and then
You already know the trick, don't you?
exactly. Nah, it doesn't work though. They're too smart for
It's
that.
like they limit like streams per device or something per day or some shit like that. So,
Yeah. But see what else. Oh. If you want to listen to my music for my band Hybrid Citizen, that is also on all streaming platforms, Spotify, iTunes. We're on Instagram and Facebook, and we have a Twitter, but we're like never on Twitter just because there's so much, like, I just
that's my
hate being
main
on
one too.
it. Really? I don't know. Every time I'm on Twitter, I just see a bunch of retweets from Donald Trump, and I'm just like, I just I'm gonna be here, I go
That
on, I go.
awkward party that you just showed up. You're like, no,
And it's
like, I don't
weird
want to
because
be
I
here.
do you ever feel like that, like Facebook or like algorithms and social media like know what race you are? And then they
Yes.
like, okay, so like I'm in no way, shape, or form like anywhere like near a Trump supporter. But for some reason, and I feel like this might be because of my whiteness, that whenever I go on Facebook, I always get like, I think like the Hodge twins pop up on my
Oh,
Facebook
those
all the time.
guys. God, I can't
Those
stand
guys,
them.
like Ben Shapiro was always on my stuff. Like, and I always
Yeah.
get this like just these like random like racist things that I see. And
fucking Breitbart and what was it, Prager U, like all that, you know, alt-right bullshit. Yeah. And, I mean, not to say, I mean, I get a lot of, you know, leftist stuff too, but, you know, I like to see both just to kind of compare. But in the end, man, it's all propaganda.
Yeah,
it's all,
I mean,
propaganda.
I just think that the whole two-party system thing is just outdated. Needs to,
yeah.
We need more choices. We're just playing a game of tug of war right now between, you know, power. And like one thing I saw on Twitter that I thought was really cool. Ice-T tweeted something saying that it's two wings on the same bird. And that's so true.
Oh yeah, and they all shit on your car.
Yep.
You have to clean it up, pretty much.
Exactly.
Well, hey, nonetheless, man, thanks for coming on. I'll have you on again and maybe go on some weird rant on, you know, conspiracy or something. I got to dig in for a good one. You know, because we've talked about Jeffrey Epstein before.
Yeah,
and we
went
deep in that rabbit hole. I'm trying to find, we covered him and Ghislaine Maxwell. But we have to really dig into a new one. Actually, I want to dig into one that's declassified, because there's a couple of declassified so-called conspiracies that wound up being true. So I'll have to show you those.
Yeah, definitely. And then talk about some aliens and stuff.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. But nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen, again, Justin Amen on the show. Thank you. Thank you again for being on.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you guys next time. Thanks for tuning in.